Welcome to Health in Europe. In this episode, we turn our attention to the world of nursing through the compelling lens of Stephanie Fernandez and Francisco Ferraz. Francisco is a passionate third-year nursing student from Portugal, and he brings us into the heart of his journey, navigating the intricate balance of emotional connections and the systemic challenges within healthcare. From his night shifts in the pediatric intensive care unit to the poignant stories that shape his vocation, Francisco's experiences offer a raw and insightful look at the realities of nursing. This episode not only highlights the indispensable role of nurses, but also underscores the urgent need for systemic reforms to better support these healthcare heroes. Join us as we dive into the essence of what it means to care, to endure, and to strive for a change in a profession that is both profoundly rewarding and undeniably demanding. My name is David Barrett. This is Health in Europe, and our focus this episode is the world of nursing.
Hi, Francisco.
Hello.
Welcome to this conversation today. I'm very happy that you agreed to have this conversation with me. I know that you are a third year nursing student. You're studying at the nursing school in Portugal, at the nursing school of Coimbra. And at the moment, you're doing a clinical placement at the pediatric intensive care unit. And you just came out of night shift even today. So thank you so much for joining.
It is really a pleasure to be here.
I would like to start with a question that I don't know if you get this question often, but it's always something that interests me as I'm a nurse myself. And a lot of my clinical placements have been very significant and they shaped me a lot. So I'm wondering, can you share maybe with us a significant experience from your time working with patients or during your clinical placement that had an impact on you?
Indeed, this question people often ask me. I was in my first clinical experience. It was my first contact with hospital nurses, the wards, and there was a lady there. She was sent home, actually, because she did fine, a good recovery. And then she felt at home 2 days after she got released from the ward. And then she got back there in a really bad condition of health. She didn't eat. She didn't speak to anyone. She was really confused. Like, she didn't know where she was. And one time, I offered myself to provide her the lunch, and all the nurses were like, oh, she will not eat so much, like, you don't have to worry about it. I just thought to myself, okay, I will do my best. I gave her the lunch, I provided her the lunch. I start to speak with her, try to see if I can, for any instance, she would react to my speaking and to my jokes. And actually, when she realized my name is Francisco, which is a very common name in Portugal, she basically realized that I had the same name as her husband that has passed away. And from that moment on, this lady with 91 years old got really connected to me, and she always wanted Francisco to do everything for her, hygiene, provide her the foods and everything, basically. So it was not the nurses, it was Francisco that had to do everything for her. Yeah, we established a good therapeutic relationship, as we call in nursing. And then it was like Christmas time, and it was time to go to holidays. I didn't say goodbye to her. I didn't have time. That shift was kind of hard. And I left the ward. I thought, okay, maybe she will recover. She will be at home really soon. Yeah, I don't have to worry. But deep down here, I knew that something was wrong once I started again the placement in the 2nd of January. I asked the nurses how the lady was doing, has she been released home? And nobody could answer my questions and my concerns. I checked the record files, and then she was there. She had died one day before I arrived, so in the 1st of January. This story impacted me a lot, not only because it was my first time in placement, it was my first clinical experience, my first emotions coming out, but also because I didn't have the opportunity to say goodbye to her. This situation particularly helped me to realize that we have always to say what we have to say. We can't say, okay, it's for tomorrow. No, if we have to say now, it's now that we are going to say, because we will regret. And that's something, probably the only thing that I regret throughout these 3 years of studying nursing and so many clinical placements, is not saying a word to this lady. She was alone in the hospital. Her family didn't care about her. I can't deal with that. I can deal with everything. But when it comes to letting people suffer in the hospital, I don't know what have happened during their lives, of course, but seeing that lady there without any help, without family, it just felt that I had to do something. And I did, but it was incomplete and she died alone. So that's, yeah, this story will forever be in my memory for sure.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing. It's a story that brings a lot of wisdom with it.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, this is what nursing is actually. Like, in one day you are totally fine, you are recovering, but the next day you will never know. And you mentioned, I'm in the ICU. It's basically the same. Like, in one moment you are totally fine, you are recovering, but all of a sudden you can be worse. So yeah, I think that's nursing.
Yes, pleasure and pain is very close by. Francisco, what inspired you to pursue a career in nursing initially?
Actually, this is a fun story. Let's switch the mood here a bit. Nursing was my third option when I entered like university. I always knew that I wanted to do something that helped people recover from health or injury and contributed to improving quality of life. Nursing was my third option because of all of other health-related courses, that was the course that drew my attention the most. However, I was far from understanding what nursing actually is. Right now, I can say that I'm not completely understanding what nursing is, because it's such a profession that always surprises us when we are not expecting it. When we have like this national competition for university admission, students are accorded to their final grades in high school. I got in the nursing school of Coimbra, which is my city, my hometown as well. So at the end of the day, it was not all bad, you know. When I was looking into my options, nursing was the course with the most opportunities when looking to the future after graduation. So that was something that drew my attention. And then in addition, I knew that nursing teaches us to deal with all people, and it's a profession that establishes the more contact with people who need care. So I knew that I was completely relating my personal characteristics to this, and that's why I chose nursing.
What were your expectations when you decided to go into nursing, and has maybe the image of nursing that you had before you started changed now that you are in your third year?
I didn't know what to expect. For me, okay, nursing, cool, like hospital, cool, taking care of people, great. But I think when we are applying to university, and it doesn't mean that it's be nursing, it can be other course, you don't think you are ever really prepared for what you are going to face. Now, I say that I'm glad to choose nursing because everything is going really well. But at first, the fear of not succeeding is great, you know, especially when it wasn't ever my first, even my first choice. From the moment I received that email saying that I was going to nursing school, I was aware of the difficulty of this degree, but with the hope that I will succeed as much as possible and to make myself proud and my family. I just went with free spirits to enjoy every moment and to do my best. This is something that I always wake up and think, because this is actually what drives me, not only in nursing, but in life.
There's a relatively low percentage of male nurses. Do you feel that being a male nurse gives you advantages, or do you struggle maybe differently than your female colleagues? Is that something that even crosses your mind? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
This topic was one of my curiosities, to see if the fact that I was a man in a profession where the majority are women could in any way influence the way I provided care. Fortunately, it happened very few times. However, unlike many people who might be disappointed or sad and think that the no that we received as men sometimes can refer to them or their provision of care, but in my perspective, has nothing to do with it. So when it happens, I'm perfectly fine. The way I see it, people are already vulnerable. They just want someone who understands their level of intimacy better and basically, in a way, makes them feel more comfortable. These situations tend to happen more often and have happened to me more often when we are talking about people at a younger age, when is body discovering and intimacy are still developing, you know. In conclusion, sometimes there can be some discomfort associated with the presence of men as nurse, but I think this paradigm is changing. But also, I have faced some situations where some patients wanted to be provided care by a male nurse. So that's good. I think it's a step forward. When people ask me this question as well, I always tend to say that it depends a lot on who you are caring, but also on how much you give to that person, you know, how you can establish a connection with them for them to feel safe, secure, and to be connected with you. And yeah, how you establish a therapeutic relation with them. But I think this paradigm is changing, not only because I see even more male students going into nursing, which is good. Every year we have more. I think when I entered university, we were in total 320 students that year, and only probably, I think, 30 male, 40 maximum. And then I think this number is growing by the years. So it's good. Like, it's a recognition of the profession.
There's a shortage of nurses. In your opinion, what steps need to be taken to make nursing a more appealing career choice?
So many. To be honest, so many. I will talk about my experience here in Portugal. So in fact, nursing as a profession itself, in my opinion, we are somewhat disunited profession. Because as students, we all hear in placements like, you are still in time to give up, you have still time to change. And when you are a student, like, how you are going to receive this information? Okay, probably this is not for me. Probably this is not a good profession to be in. And how does a student where he always wanted to study nursing, for example, react when an experienced nurse says this to them during their first contact with clinical experience, for example, you know? In Portugal, for example, it's a magnificent country to live in. good food, good weather, helpful people, nothing to complain. In general, a good quality of life. However, for the hours a nurse works and comparing to what they earn and what they have to pay here in Portugal, it's really difficult, especially for an early career nurse to get out of their parents' house, to have their own independency, financial independency. And so it's really difficult. In the end, like, people have to go to other jobs and to find other hospitals to go and to do shifts and more shifts and don't have time to rest because the urge to have money here to pay just the rent, it's getting worse and worse and worse. I believe it's happening all over the place, but in the Portuguese reality is something that we are fighting for. And next, the opportunities for career progression and speaking to the, in regards to Portuguese nurses, we often, I think 30% last year, 30% of the nursing students that graduate went abroad, because here the progression, the career progression doesn't happen. Nurses who have been working for decades are still in the same position, professional level as they were like 20 years ago. We train excellent nurses here in Portugal, but these training capacities that we have are not reflected in what I've said so far. So it's a lot of things mixed together that sometimes people don't feel that is an attractive position or profession to be in. What I think is that governments and people also need, first, as nursing students, as nurses, we need to aggregate our profession and stick to the good points where we are really good, and to stick to our mission is to care and provide care, and to bring to other people, younger people, to the profession by saying, okay, come experience. Nursing is good. You see, you will like it. And then I think creating more career progression opportunities. And then I think universities have also to create opportunities to have a complete degree. And when you are looking, as Francisco was 3 years ago, looking into the nursing sheets of what is supposed to be done in the degree, for people to realize, okay, here I see an opportunity to evolve. I relate to this university, to this course, and also the wages, of course. But if I would say, among all of this, I think strength nursing profession among nurses is the most important thing. I don't know if you agree or not, Stephanie, but that's as a nurse.
I realize it's a big question, and it's also a very personal question. So I appreciate that you shared the structural improvements that you wish to see, but also the cultural and the human improvements that you wish to see for this profession. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, I think if every nurse, every nursing student, if we every day wake up and try to do a little more than yesterday, and this little more doesn't mean in placements or words, but regards to the profession and to relationship to other nurses and healthcare professionals, if we every day try to do better, as a nursing student perspective, don't be the nurse, please, to say, oh, you are still in time to give up. You know, that's something that bothers me a lot. The students are there because they want to be there. They want to become nurses. Regarding all the difficulties that is associated with the profession.
And our words have power, so we need to be intentional and thoughtful of how we use those words.
Yeah, and in a profession that communication is such a distinguished characteristic of nurses, I think we have all the capacity to improve this. I strongly believe.
For someone considering nursing as a career who is listening to this conversation today, what advice or encouragement would you offer?
For those who are listening to this podcast, and I always talk about nursing with a real in a really passionate way, because this nursing made me feel like in love. Let's say this is first experience your experience. You can try to ask for any information, any feedback from nursing students, from nurses. But I think the most important thing, experience what you have to experience. If you think it's not for you, experience it, because you will see you are going to make it. In this world, sometimes people doubt of everyone. If you are considering to go into nursing, you are capable of doing it, and don't allow anybody to say you can't do it. It's your own development, it's your own life. And as much as it gets harder, because it will get hard sometimes with all the clinical placements, with all the night shifts, with all the exams that never ends, there is always a light at the end of the tunnel. And you will see, you will become stronger. Hopefully, when you finish your degree, you are really proud of what you have done. And that's something that hopefully me in 1 year, I will be really proud to finish the bachelor's degree. I will not finish my studies, but I will finish my bachelor's degree and be proud of, because I think I'm living my own experience regarding all of what I've heard. And that's the most important thing. So that's the message I always give to everyone. It's basically to live and be happy, caring for other people.
Health in Europe is produced by the World Health Organization. Our huge thanks goes to Francisco Farage. Francisco was interviewed by Stephanie Fernandez. Music for this episode is by Nicholas Joseph Anmar, Mike Reed, James Nathan, and Jeremy Jones. The theme music is by Ben Kling. Sound and editing is by me, David Barrett. And on behalf of everyone here at the World Health Organization, thanks for listening.